This morning, I have something on my heart to share with you. And this passage, for about a year probably, I've been thinking, studying a bit this passage and just looking into this passage because it speaks so much to us. And the title of my message today, it is, "You are the God who sees me." You are the God who sees me. Do we know that through every circumstances in our life, God sees us? Even in the moments when we do not feel anything. Even in the moments when we feel empty, alone, dried up, God still sees us. Even in the moments when we hide at times and struggle secretly with some of the things that we struggle in life. And we have the tendency to hide from people because we want to be alone and in private. But even in those moments, God sees us. We're never alone. But he sees every moment of our life. It's an open book before him. Everything is an open book before him. Matter of fact, nothing catches him by surprise. It's not something that we do tomorrow and all of a sudden God is like, "Man, I'm surprised you did that." Nothing catches him by surprise because he knew everything from before we were born. He knew that we will fall short of the glory of God. He knew that we would go astray, and he had prepared the Lamb of God to give himself for us to reconcile us with him. That's an amazing truth, that God knows everything. Now, it doesn't mean that we take advantage of things and we just live how we want, but we align ourselves to the Word of God, take the Word of God as our direction to live a life according to the Spirit of God. But today I want to talk to you about a woman from the Word of God by the name of Hagar. And her life was marked by pain, rejection, loneliness, a sense of being used by other people. It's important to know that Hagar's biggest challenge in her life were brought on by other people, not herself. Especially in the time that she lived in, having ties to Egypt and her life as a mistress, just being there to serve, a lot of things that went wrong in Hagar's life, she did not even have full control over it. But it was because of the circumstances around her that caused her to feel that way. And often in our life, the circumstances in our life that day to day we face affects us. We become the people that we are. It is because where we grew up, the families we grew up, the friends we hang out with, the things we associate with. There's a saying that says, "Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are." That's how much power people around us have on our character, have on us. And Hagar here, she found herself in this family as a servant, and she was serving, and all of a sudden she got herself into things that she probably never thought she would. She got herself into circumstances in her life that she began to maybe think, was it worth it all? What am I doing here? Why am I in this place? But the circumstances dictated her life. And I would like to ask you if you can open up the book of Genesis. Is the first book of the Bible in the beginning. Genesis chapter 16, verse 4 and down. And it says that Abraham, in verse 4, so Abraham had sexual relationship with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord shows who's wrong, you or me." Abraham replied, "Look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar with harshly, that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from? And where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she replied. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you cannot count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as tame as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in an open hostility against all the relatives. Therefore, or thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who has spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So that well was named Bar Lahai Roi, which means well of the living one who sees me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave Abraham a son, and Abraham named him Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Now I would like to go through the story again, and then we'll read later on the second part of the story 13 years later. Because often we read the story and then we read what happens after and we kind of divide them. But this story and the story of when Isaac was born, it takes about 13 years of time. And it's amazing that this journey was not the easiest for Hagar. So the first thing that I would like to talk about, when Hagar had a life in her, when she became pregnant, she treated Sarai with contempt. And let's read again verses 4 and 5. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. And so often in our life, when we have life in us, when we have something that we think, okay, we can offer something to other people, let's put spiritually, when we feel that God is using us, when we feel that God is really giving us something that we can speak and we can offer, we can be a blessing or a help to somebody, often we feel like I'm above somebody else. We have the temptation as a human nature to have this tendency to feel like I know it all, that person is a little dumber, and for that reason, I'm a little higher than another person. We have the tendency to put ourselves as we found favor with God. Listen, don't get too excited. God can use a donkey as well. Amen? So sometimes we forget that. And all of a sudden we think that somehow we found favor because there is life in us. There is something that we can offer. And all of a sudden we have the tendency or the struggle, the temptation at times to treat others that going through the wilderness, that are going through moments of barrenness with contempt. And the Bible over here says that this is what Hagar did to Sarai. She began to treat her with contempt. And think about it, in that moment, Sarai was her boss. She was just there to serve. But then she began to compare herself to Sarai and be like, I have something that you do not have. And she began to look down upon Sarai. And obviously this created conflict. Say with me, conflict. Conflict. It creates conflict when we race against each other. When we compare ourselves to each other. When we begin to say, well, that person is like that and I'm like that. We are setting ourselves for a failure. We are setting ourselves up for disaster. Because that will bring in us contemption, that will bring in us, you know, envy and strife and all of these things that the Bible talks about, that they're sinful things. But because we do not guard our hearts in those moments, there's a potential for the enemy to have room for pride to grow in our life. And now we see later on that it came a moment when it says that Sarai got so upset and she sent her away. Here in verse 6, Abraham replied, look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. And it's an amazing story that it came a moment of conflict. It came a moment where it was supposed to be a rejoicing moment. It was supposed to be a party on the street, so to speak. God has answered the prayer. But now, this very thing, this very life that was in the midst brought so much issues in the family. And she began to run away. She began to run away. And the second thing I want to talk to you, it's running away from your or from our problems is never the solution to solve them. Running away from our problems is a never, never, ever a solution to solve them. And this is what we have the tendency to do, to run away. Like we see right here, Hagar. All of a sudden, she had issues with her boss. All of a sudden, there's things going on, and it's her fault to a degree because she began to look down upon Sarai. And now she finds herself to run away because when the going got tough for her, she got going. And this is what we do. When the going gets tough for us, at times we get going. We find ourselves as travelers, as pilgrims, not in Christ, but in the flesh. Because we never can submit to authority. We never can do what God has called us to do. We never can do what God is giving into our hands with that life, the precious call of God, or whatever what God has given to us. We never want to come and do that in the orderly manner. But as people, we're tempted to do things our way. And this is when we have so much issues, especially in the body of Christ, especially among the believers, because we have the tendency to think that if God called me to something, now I found favor, and the other people that are going through the wilderness, like Sarai, well, they don't have favor with God. Surely God can't use them. He promised this family a child, but now it's coming through me. And all of a sudden, there's contention and issue after issue. And now she got going. And let's read again verses 6 through 15. Abraham replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. Then the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from?" And let's stop here for a moment. I have a question. The angel of the Lord, you miraculously appeared to Hagar. You don't know where she's coming from? Do you think the angel of the Lord did not know where she is coming from? He knew everything. But now he wants to have a discussion with Hagar so Hagar can open up. And here Hagar says, "And where are you going?" And Hagar's replying, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she replied. You see? And she's opening up. He says, "Listen, I'm running for my life. I'm running away." And maybe you're here today or watching a line that you feel that your life is on a run right now. From whatever where God has called you, you are running. Because at one point you felt there was life in you, and now you're, because of that, you are running for your life because you did not know how to handle that. Because it came a moment where you allowed pride and different things in your life to get a hold of you, and somehow you thought you missed the mark, and you find yourself now running away. You find yourself that maybe you're too old for that, maybe you're too young for that, or maybe it's too late. But you see, the angel came into the wilderness and met her and began to talk with her. And then verse 9 says, "And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her authority.'" What? What are you talking about? I'm running away from her. She's mean. No, but if you want God to do something in your life, running away from your problems is never the solution. It's never an answer. No, you need to learn how to deal with problems and not run away from problems. So the angel is saying, no, you go back and you submit to your boss. You submit, and not only submit, but you serve her. Oh, come on now. That is so easy to do, right? Of course not. And we know now between this story and the story when she was sent away, 13 years of time it took for her to do that. 13 years, not a month, not 2 months, not a few days. Not a moment when you come and reconcile and you wait for you a few days to send a letter of resignation so you can leave on good terms. No, 13 years, more than a decade. Submit to the authority above you. Serve them if you want to have life in you. Submit and serve, because in that there is the truth of the kingdom of God, that we serve each other. We don't look above each other when we have life. We don't look above each other when we have giftings. We don't look above other people when we have talents. But we are to serve one another. In the moments when we think that we have life, the very evidence that we have life is servanthood. It produces servanthood. But the moment when we start running away, I think we got a hold of pride instead of servanthood. And all of a sudden, it makes us run away from one place to another, from one church to another, from one gathering to another, because we never find ourselves to be able to say, God, whatever life you had given me, whatever promises you have fulfilled through my life, it belongs to you. And now it's for your glory, for your body, and we are to serve one another. Amen. And here it says again, verse 10, then he added, I will give you more descendants that you can count. You see, this is the promise. When we learn how to walk under authority, when we learn to serve, and when we learn to trust the Lord, God will bless us. God will bless us, and he will lead our life. Amen? Amen. And over here it says, and the angel of the Lord says, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. You see, Ishmael was not a mistake. But Ishmael was a cry, an answer to a cry, because God heard the cry of this family. God heard the cry of Hagar and sent her a son. It says, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. And now verse 13, therefore Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She says, you are the God who hears me. And this is where my title, my message came from. You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. Every circumstance, every situation, even when we run for our lives, he is the God who sees us. Amen. So she also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? You see, it's a question. She's amazed, and she's coming to a point where she says, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Have I truly heard the one who hears me? Have I truly heard that message? And if I did, I'm gonna go back and do what you've called me to do. In the most hard moments, in the most distressed moments, I'm gonna do my part. I'm gonna go and serve. I'm gonna go and submit. I'm gonna do what you've called me to do. By your grace, I will do that. And for 13 years now, she's been doing that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna take a little further. That now Ishmael is born. And we all rejoice, right? When kids and children are born, we all rejoice and we clap and we dance. And in that moment, if you can think about it, for 13 years, Abraham, he thought that the promises of God are fulfilled in Ishmael. So he is treated, my goodness, you are the next one. You are the very thing that God has promised. Through you, the fulfillment of God's promises are gonna be. And he's being treated as the heir. He's being treated as that one that God is gonna fulfill his promises that was given to Abraham. Can you imagine what if it was you or me that were like that? For 13 years, I tell you, man, you're the next one. It's too late for us, we're old. You're the very thing that God is gonna move. He's gonna bring a descendant and he's gonna bless you. And through your lineages, blessing after blessing is gonna come. A great nation out of you is gonna come. And he's thinking, he's the next one. And 13 years later, he finds out it was a lie. 13 years later, he finds out I was duped, right? They fooled me. It was not me. How do we react to stuff like that? How do we react to pain? How do we react to things that come our way that we did not expect? You see, in the beginning, Hagar was running away from stuff like that. Hagar, even before the son was born, she was running away because of the pain and conflict. But now, in this situation, I don't see her running away. I don't see her running away because she knew who her God is. She knew that God sees her, that God has a plan for her. And even for 13 years, she was seeing one picture, one story was told to her. And 13 years later, the scene has flipped and changed. She had put her trust in God. She still found herself to find refuge in God because she had a moment 13 years before that you are the God who sees me. You are the God who hears me. You are the God who has a plan for me. You are the God that's promised me life. You are the God that's promised me that this child will grow up and live and have a descendants. You are that God. And even though for 13 years I believed another message, God, I still trust you. God, I still trust you. Escaping from the conflict is always a temporary solution, not a long-term resolve. And she learned that. She learned that years ago, that escaping or running away from issues is never a solution, but a temporary fix that will always come back. It will always come back. As the worship team comes, I'll be closing shortly. But I'm not preaching to you something that I just read or I've heard stories. I'm also sharing with you that we all go through things in life where we want to run away. We all go through things in life. I've been through moments and seasons in my life when I wanted to run away too. The easiest thing, it seems like, you know what? Pack up and move on. This is the easiest thing sometimes it seems like. But no, we are called, even in the midst of conflict, to serve and submit. Amen? To serve and submit. And when we do that, God begins to do something in our life. He begins to change our character, He begins to change our heart, and He begins to speak to us. And He begins to open doors for us that only He can open, and shut the doors that only He can shut. Amen? We have to learn not to run away from our issues, not to run away from our problems, but to ask God to give us the grace to deal with them. And when He does give us the grace to deal with them, we will grow, because that is who our God is. Amen? Now let's forward 13 years later. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not months, years. 10 years, 12, 13, about 13 years later. If you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. And we'll start with verse 8. Genesis 21 verse 8. Again, 13 years later. This is a continuation of this woman by the name of Hagar. It says, when Isaac grew up, it was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah saw him, Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar, making fun of the son of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, get rid of this slave woman and her son. He is not going to share the inheritance with my son, Isaac. I won't have it. I think the intonation probably was worse than mine. I'm trying to think how that went down. But I think, I won't have it. I think it's more like that probably, right? Get rid of these people. For 13 years, they're saying that all my inheritance is yours. Everything is yours. They're telling this kid, they're telling this family that everything is fulfilled. And now when Isaac is born, get rid of these people. We won't have them. I'm not gonna share nothing with them. Get rid of them. And verse 11, this upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. You see, it was a moment again of conflict, but I wanna see now how they're dealing with this conflict. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarai tells you or Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. How often we, if we're married, how much wisdom as husbands we would have if we would listen to our wives. You see, the angel of the Lord had to appear to Abraham to tell him, listen, do whatever Sarah tells you to do, right? I'm not saying all the suggestions our wives give us are the wisest thing, okay? Don't get flattered too much. All right, but what I'm saying is, it's good to listen to our wives because they have wisdom and they see things. They will guide us. Amen, husbands? One said amen. Amen, husbands. Amen. So we hear the angel of the Lord. You know, maybe you're waiting here for the angel of the Lord to appear to you to listen to your wife. I'm not sure. But I think God speaks also to preachers, all right? So listen to their advice. Don't disregard them, but care for them. Take care of them, because if they do well, we will do well as husbands. Amen? And verse 13, but I will also make a nation. And this is a promise now. The angel of the Lord is saying, listen, by you sending them away, it's not like you're destroying their life. You see, Hagar was running away for her life before she gave birth. But now she's being sent away. Being sent away. Say with me, sent away. Sent away. You know, here it says, of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is your son too. So Abraham got up early in the next morning, prepared food and container of water, and strapped them on Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with her son. And she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she put the boy into the shade of the bush. Then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. You see, again, she has the tendency in this moment, she's being sent away now. She's not running away, but in the moment of hardship in the wilderness, she still has the tendency, as we all do as human, she's running away again. She's leaving her son by a broom tree because she knows this is the end of our life now. How are we gonna survive? And again, that same tendency to run away, it's in her again. She begins to just leave and go away. But this is different now. And it says, then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. I don't want to watch the boy die, she said, as she burst into tears. She began to weep in that moment. She's like, I don't want to see this scene right now. But God heard the boy's cry. That's awesome. You see, it's amazing that it says God did not hear Hagar's cry. God spoke already to Hagar. He says, I am with you. I'm going to bring a descendant out of you. But now God had to open up to the boy as well. He says that God heard the cry of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy's crying as he listened there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants. Then God opened Hagar's eyes and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave it to the boy to drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up in the wilderness. He became a skillful archer and he settled in the wilderness of Paran. What a powerful story. You see, it came a moment where no longer Hagar is running for her life. But it came a moment where Hagar was sent away. And where was she sent? In the palace? Where was she sent? In a million-dollar home? Where was she sent? No, she was sent into the wilderness. Know that you can grow in hard places. You have to know that. Hard places cannot be avoided, but you and I can grow in them. We can grow in hard places. And now Hagar is being sent to a hard place, into the wilderness. And in the moment when she thought it's the end, over here we see that it's not the end. It is just the beginning of what God is gonna do now for Hagar and Ishmael. Amen? You can grow in hard places. In the wilderness, God opened Hagar's eyes to see the well of water where she was drawn strength, life, and purpose. You see, in the wilderness, we need a miracle. We don't need solutions. We don't need what we can do, obstacles and things like that we can figure things out. But in the wilderness, we all are in need of a miracle, supernatural miracle. For God, you have to make a way. You have to make a way. And God has opened up this well. God opened up the eyes of Hagar to see the well. And she found purpose, life, and strength again. Because God is good, amen? In my conclusion, I would like to just remind us, someone once says, we experience His help most clearly in and through conflicts and difficulties, not away from them. If you have a pen and paper, I would encourage you to write this and go and ponder upon this truth. Okay? I'm going to repeat myself. As someone once said, we experience His help, God's help, most clearly in and through conflicts and difficulties, not away from them. Because we as people have the tendency to think that if we run away, everything will be good. But no, no, no. We experience God's miraculous power in and through those things, because He's going to open our eyes to see that there always was a well and the rivers of water that brings life to us, that always supplies for us, that always comes right on time when we have need. Amen. He gives grace to those that are in need in whatever moments you find yourself in. Doing the impossible is everyday business for God, someone said. That is who our God is. Everything that is possible, we can do without God. But we serve a God that is miraculous. And He is in the business of doing the impossible every day of our life. What are the things in our life that are impossible? This is the moment where God can do a miracle for you. Because what's not possible for me and you, it is possible for Him. Because He is the God of miracles. He is the God of impossibilities. That He can create things and speak things into life. He can bring reconciliation, forgiveness. He can free you from every bondage. He can do only He what He can do. What are some of the things that you're going through in this wilderness? Don't run away from things. Don't run away from conflicts. But face them head on and trust the Lord to bring deliverance in your life and to show that He is mighty. In the midst of difficulties that we go through in life, with Hagar, we can say, You are the God who sees me. You are the God who hears me. And You are the God who will answer me. Hallelujah. I'm never alone, even at my lowest point in life. You will never leave me or forsake me, but You will lead me to the everlasting life. I will not be alone. I will not be put to shame, because My promises are in You and through You. And even though for 13 years I was told one thing, and 13 years later I found myself that I was lied to. Not because somebody is at fault, but because this is what they thought it is. God, my future is still in You. I'm not gonna run away from things, but I'm gonna learn how to serve the body of Christ. I'm gonna learn how to find healing in the body of Christ. I'm gonna learn how to find You in the body of Christ. And I'm going to learn how to submit to authority, because it's what You've called me to do. Even though when they're not perfect, God give me the grace to do that, because there is life in that. And if I'm learning this lesson, You will bless me with great blessings that only can come from You. And hard moments in my life are not the end of the story, but it's just the beginning. What You can do through my life is the beginning, because we experience His help most clearly, in and through conflict and difficulties, not away from them. Amen. Father, we thank You, because You are good and Your mercy endures forever. Lord, we thank You for this story that You've been speaking to me more than a year now. You've been showing to me personally how important it is to deal with things, not to run away from things. Would You teach us and give us the grace to do that? Even when we wrongly accused of something, and or something has been done to us that we have every reason maybe to get bitter. Lord, but You have not called us to bitterness, but You have called us to forgive. To forgive, to serve, and to submit. Lord, I pray that You help us to do that. Lord, if there's people online or here in the sanctuary that they're hurt, that they feel like there are things in their life that they hold on to things, would You give them the grace to forgive and to move on, to reconcile? Lord, I pray that You give us the grace to grow in the moments of difficulty. Help us, O Lord, to know that You can grow patience in us. You can grow forgiveness in us. The fruit of the Spirit can be alive in us in the places of hardships, in the places of conflict. God, and I pray that You would help us always to see You and through in the midst of all the things that we go through. To be reminded and to know that you are our God, then you will be faithful to carry us through. Not to think that running away from things will solve things, but you have called us to face the things that are coming against us and to deal with them in kindness. Teach us to do that, oh Father. Teach us, oh Lord, not to create conflict, but to be people that will create peace, that will speak peace, and that will avoid conflict, will avoid strife, will avoid words of pain, and will speak words of life. God, we thank you that even when it was a moment when they thought that Hagar and her situation and Ishmael was a mistake, Lord, you have promised her life. And you had made a descendant from this situation. God, we thank you that you can take our mess and make a message out of it. Father, we thank you that you can take our mess and make a message out of it. Because it's only through you we can do that. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.